Reinhardt near circle up top to Montour. Montour, here comes the shot, scores! Former Sabre blasted past Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen, and it's 3-1 Florida with 10:19 to go here in the third period.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. That is your game winner from the former Sabre defenseman Brandon Montour, just near the halfway point of the third on the power play. After the Benson tripping call, the Granato extra 2 minutes for unsportsmanlike goes into a 5-on-3, and the Panthers take advantage. It's the game-winning goal, and it's our NOCO play of the game brought to you by NOCO, the official natural gas and electric supplier to the Buffalo Sabres. As we welcome you into the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show, I'm Brian Colziel. Visit your local Upstate Honda Dealers today. 3-2 Panthers on a night when I want to talk about, again, how great Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been. I feel like there's a little bit of me that wants to talk about officiating. It was a storyline in this game for sure. What is happening to Zach Benson on multiple occasions here throughout the season just seems to be unjustified, and we can't figure it out. But I think Don Granato, who obviously was annoyed at the call that happened early in the game with him and Kulikov with the race for the puck when he was called for a penalty there for holding, which never occurred. Benson all year, to me, has been on the short end of the stick of what I would consider to be questionable calls. The tripping call, by the book, I guess he's down on the ice and Kulikov's right leg bumps into him, which causes him to fall. All right, TJ, where are we going? I'm sorry. All right, Tage Thompson, live in Florida as we start off here on the postgame with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. It seemed like a very even first period, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen really seemed to stand on his head for you to keep him in the game the second, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Oopie's been playing great. You know, gives us a chance to keep the game close and find our way back into it. And yeah, I thought we played a great first. Second, I think you know, they had a good push there, and I thought the third we controlled the game. But you know, obviously it's a tough league, especially, you know, climbing uphill, chasing a lead is always tough. So kind of been the MO all year, I feel like. Chasing leads, it's not a good situation to put yourself in, and obviously Oopie you know, kept us in there and, you know, gave us a chance to claw back.
As you said, you were coming on in the third, but is it a 5-on-3 just too much, especially against that hockey team?
Yeah, I mean, I think special teams on both sides of it tonight weren't good enough, right? I think in our PK, you know, we let in a couple, and yeah, they're good. They're a good team. They got a good power play, and then, you know, at the same time, we get some looks on the power play, and thought we had some good chances, but obviously got to capitalize. So. And be better in both departments there.
Do you feel like the game was over-officiated a little bit?
I mean, I don't really want to comment on that. You know, my job is to get over the boards and play a game. And, you know, the officiating can't change it, right? They're going to do what they do. And, you know, may or may not have an outcome on the game sometimes, and that's beyond our control. So I think the last thing we can do is worry about them. And I think that honestly just creates excuses for ourselves. And, you can always look in the mirror and do something better yourself, right? So, obviously, it sucks trying to kill a 5-on-3, but it's the way the game went tonight, so you got to do it.
TH, they don't make it easy to get to the front of the net or get there. You guys got both your goals that way. The power play, oh, Kyle was there, and on your goal, you went there, and you got pucks and people to the net. But that's not you got two that way, but they usually are pretty tough on that, aren't they?
Yeah. I think really any team in this league, you're not going to get to the net easy. That's why you get rewarded when you go there, and you got to pay a price to get there. It's not easy. I think as a team, we can do a lot better job of doing that, staying in there, getting second chances, and you know, if our D are getting their heads up at the blue line and they see there's no one in there, it's kind of tough for them to release the puck and shoot it. It's an easy save for the goalie, right? So we got to get down there and take the eyes away and battle and fight for it. If we want to score, if we want to win games, that's one of the things we got to be better at.
You got rewarded for your play. Is this something now that can get you going now that one went in for you?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I feel like the game's been pretty good, getting chances and You know, sometimes you get ones a little lucky like that one. Hopefully that can get going. Obviously, need to be scoring to help our team win. So hopefully that continues.
You guys have had three or four one-goal losses to that team, but, you know, as a group, I don't want to say rivalry because it might be not exactly that, but, I mean, what's it like you guys obviously don't exactly like them. They don't seem really like you, and, I mean, it seems like just close games, and I guess you guys have to feel good about how you match up against them up to this point.
Yeah, they're always all hard-fought games. Obviously, there's a bitter taste in our mouth the way they left us, last season, and I think every time we play them, there's, just that, animosity between each other, and I think that's good. I think it gets the best out of you. At least it should. You should thrive on those games and get excited for them. So I always enjoy playing against them. I think a lot of guys in this room do. Obviously, want to be on the other side of it, and this one sucks tonight.
Thanks, Tage. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is in the room here, Brian, so let's walk over there. Ukko, let's start with the first period. You guys were playing well, and that second goal goes in off a stick. I mean, there's really not much you can do about it when that happens. Did you guys just feel, because you actually had a good push after that second goal, did you just feel, hey, sometimes breaks don't go your way and let's keep playing?
Yeah, that happens sometimes. You know, it's really nobody's fault. Demons, job to try to cut that pass, and that's what they did on that. It's not their fault, that it deflects into the net. You know, that just happens sometimes. It's unlucky, but overall, I feel like we had a really good first period. We let in two goals, but otherwise than that, I think we played a solid first.
Yeah, as a group, how were you guys feeling at the second intermission? I mean, despite some of the struggles, you guys were still only down by a goal at that point.
That's the thing, we were only down by a goal. Really doesn't matter how you get there. If you're down by a goal going to the third, it doesn't matter what the score is, you still have a chance to win the game, and that's all that matters at that point. And we kind of looked into that, that way going to the third. So, I think it sucks that we lost, but I think we, it was a good effort in the end.
You had to feel good with the way you did held the team in the second period. You made a lot of great saves. So at the end of the period, you kind of helped your guys out. Kept it at a one-goal game going into the third. You had to feel good about that.
Yeah, it felt great. It kind of is, what I've been talking about. What's the best part of, playing well is to, help your teammates, help them to win. Win as a team. So, that's kind of my job to, try to keep the game close when we're not playing maybe as well as we want to. So, in the end, as I said, it doesn't matter really how we got there, but it was a one-goal game going to the third.
Kind of a shame you had to they got a 5-on-3 there in the third period. They're a good hockey team. Actually the best team in the league right now as far as points percentage goes. And, when they get a 5-on-3, they're going to be awfully dangerous.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of why it sucks to lose so much, because we lost, maybe it wasn't maybe necessarily that exact goal. You never know how that game would have gone if they didn't score on that. But in the end, we lost by one goal, and that maybe is what sucks the most about this win. I think we put up a good fight. It wasn't a perfect game by any means, but kind of losing on that 5-on-3 kind of. It just sucks.
Thanks, Ukko. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Luukkonen, phenomenal again, Paul. Thank you very much there. Our blue and gold locker reports. You heard from Tage Thompson. You heard from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. It's brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Luukkonen in this game, tremendous. I don't know how he was not voted a star in this game, but yeah, all three Panthers are your three stars. Luukkonen ends up with 34 saves at the end of this game. Really impressive performance for him, despite him taking home the loss. Bobrovsky ends up with 29 saves. I mentioned the stars, might as well get to him here. Bobrovsky is star number three for Florida. Tkachuk, who had a goal, star and an assist, star number two. And Brandon Montour, who has the game-winning goal and two other assists, three-point effort for him. He's star number one. So we'll give Brandon Montour tonight his three-point effort. The Electric Player of the Game honors, brought to you by Town Ford. When you think of Ford, think of Town Ford. All right, let's go back to the room. Here's the captain, Kyle Oposo, live.
Thanks, Brian. Kyle, a pretty even first period. You guys on that particular power play with the puck around pretty well. You got to the front of the net. You shot the puck kind of just the way you draw it up, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just move it around. They obviously have an aggressive penalty kill, a good penalty kill. So just try to break their pressure and get pucks to the net. And, you know, tough to stop it if you got guys in front. So just simple and hard and direct.
How are you feeling at the end of the second period? Because it wasn't your best period. Uko Pekalukin stands on his head, and you're still only down by a goal.
Yeah, we were fine. I mean, we knew that they were going to push. They pushed. They played physical. They played their game, and it wasn't our best period, but it's a 2-1 hockey game. Like, you're going to get outplayed by good teams at points. You know, they're a really good hockey team, and they pushed, and that's okay. We got out of it. Our goalie played extremely well to keep us in the hockey game. It's a 2-1 game going into the third, and we feel like we're in the match. So we were okay.
Do you know what type of game it's going to be when you play the Panthers? How tough was it the way it was kind of officiated a little bit in the third?
It is what it is. I mean, the officials are they're doing their best. They're not going to be perfect. Nobody is. We're not going to be perfect hockey players. They're not going to make perfect calls. And I mean, you can't blame the officials. I mean, I tell my 8-year-old kid, you can't blame officials for a game. So I'm not going to start doing it now.
Did you feel like you guys had enough pushback to the physicality that they brought?
I thought some guys did. You know, we grinded a bit. Sometimes we grinded. Sometimes we you know, might have taken the easy way out a couple times, but I mean, that's the way they play. They play hard, they play in your face, fast, aggressive, and they're going to hit you, and you got to know what's coming, and just got to brace. And, you know, you don't have to throw 20 body checks out there, but, you know, take some contact. It gets you into the game. It feels, you know, you feel good. It's a type of team that it's easy to feel good against them because you know what kind of game is coming at you. They're coming. And that's okay. And we got to be, you know, you got to put your big boy pants on and play a hockey game like that. And I think that, you know, we had a lot of guys doing it, but could have used more.
When it comes to the third period, Kyle, when you fall down by a goal against that team, they don't allow much. What's the challenge like to try to get back in it at that point?
Like, it's just kind of old school hockey. Like, they're going to play man-on-man. They're not going to let you get to the net. You got to get to the net, and you got to bang in some goals, like Tomer did. Like, that's it. That's the game. And unfortunately, they did a better job of that than we did tonight. And, you know, we came out on the wrong end of it, and it's too many times against this team over the last little while.
It had been disappointing, too, that you have to kill off a full two-minute five-on-three for whatever the reason. I mean, as you said, you're not going to criticize the ref or whatever, but you still had to kill off a full two-minute five-on-three.
Yeah, I mean, you give a good power play or any power play 2 minutes of 5-on-3, they're going to score a lot of the time. So you know, we just eat that one, and you know, we did a good job for a little bit, but you know, you eat it, you're down 3-1, and you continue to push and you try to get back in the game. It is what it is. And you know, we just didn't score enough goals.
Thank you, Kyle Oposo on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. That is Kyle Oposo, Sabres captain. Again, taking the high road on the officials, which I would expect them to do. I don't have to answer to the officials, nor give the answer that maybe the captain's going to give. I'm going to say I thought the Sabres got the raw deal tonight. Like, I definitely, if you've listened to the post-game show regularly, you know I am not a blame-the-refs guy. I will frequently tell you that I just think officiating is terrible across the league. Tonight, I think the Sabres got the raw deal. I do. I think Zach Benson has something out for him from the officials, and I don't know what it is. And I hate that I'm even saying this because it sounds silly to say that there would be an 18-year-old player that the officials would want to, like, I don't know, have it out for. But it how can it not seem that way? Just what an awful call early with that hold. One of many this year. And then the tripping call, again, like, he's interfered with, which makes him fall down. Like, watch the play. Watch the sequence. It's not just Benson diving at Kulikov to trip him. It was him being interfered with off of the puck, which doesn't get called, of course, which caused him to fall down. And then Kulikov skates into him, which makes him fall. Now, by the book, Kulikov, I guess you could say, well, he was skating on that path and Benson took it away, which caused him to trip. Well, yeah, because he was pushed down without having the puck. That's interference. That should have been called first. The first call, you know, with Kulikov was terrible. That one at the end there, like, Don Granato's, I think, at that moment, you give them that 5-on-3, you're thinking, we're going to go down 3-1 with only 10 minutes to go to this team. It's probably over. And it ended up being over, even though Tage did score pretty much soon after that to make it interesting. But that might be a spot where I would say, look, I really can't blame Don too much for that, because I'm sitting here just watching it on TV and like I'm getting steamed even just sitting here talking about it, because I think Benson is getting the raw deal. I really do. And guess what? That's his player, and that's his young player who we know has been giving it everything he's got here on every shift. That's why he's still playing at this level, or that's why he's playing at this level at such a young age. And when you think he's getting the raw deal, and then it happens again, even there, if they call interference with Benson getting shoved down, and then they call the trip on Benson, I can live with it because it's sawed off and it's 4-on-4, and probably then Granato doesn't flip out, and then probably then there is no, and there obviously is no 5-on-3, and then there, maybe we're sitting here talking about this game being in overtime or the Sabres winning in the shootout again because Lukanen's unbelievable in a shootout or something like that, like we did the other night against Carolina. That matters. I mean, that if that doesn't go, if that call, if that sequence gets officiated correctly, I think the Sabres, you know, at the very least here, it's tied. And I'm not saying they win. And I'm not saying they even necessarily deserve to win because they still only scored 2. But I'm just saying it plays out differently and maybe there is a different outcome in the end. And I hate that I'm even talking about officiating for a team that's double-digit points out of a playoff spot. But just, man, like, I don't know. If you're a Sabre fan and you feel like Benson's got the raw deal this year, like, I feel for you on that. If it was a different player even on this team, anybody else, I might just say, well, here we are again, terrible officiating, inconsistent officiating. But because it's Benson, it just seems like there's that extra trigger point for me that he's had the raw deal all year. And it happened twice tonight. So I don't blame Granato for doing it. I'm going to ask Paul if he thought he agreed with Granato kind of going off, knowing that maybe that extra unsportsmanlike might, you know, knowing that maybe that's going to seal the game here. You give one of the best power plays in the league a 5-on-3 for 2 minutes. They are going to score. I mean, Oposo was right. But I don't fully blame Granato for it. And then you might disagree and say, you know, you're the coach there. You can't do that at that point because you know the game's going to be over. But I understand it. I'll at least say that for sure. I understand how Don Granato flipped out. Because that's his guy that I think's been getting stung with bad calls. And it happened twice tonight. And they missed 2 calls both times in a key situation that could have changed goals, for sure. And that could change the outcome of the game. And I'm not sitting here saying, again, that any of this changes where the Sabres are in the standings. The big picture of this season, they still can't score enough to win. They're still double digits out of a playoff spot. I'm not sitting here being all riled up about the fact that, you know, this game is going to cost them in the end the playoffs, but just in this moment right now, I understand why Granato did what he did. And yes, it leads to a 5-on-3, which ultimately led to the game winner. And, you know, that it's a 3-2 final because of it, for sure. All right, Don Granato is coming up, so we'll hear his explanation on that. We'll see how much of the high road he takes or if he's still maybe a little riled up about it, and then we'll get Paul's take on whether or not he thought Don Granato maybe should have stayed calm at that moment or if he's all right with him going off. So that's coming up here on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. While we wait for the head coach and Paul, let's get our final stats in, brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third were 14-8 Buffalo. It ends up 37-31 Florida. Still, just what a great performance by Lukanen, stopping 18 of 18 in the second period, giving him a chance going into the third. Just tremendous again tonight. Lukanen makes 34 saves in the loss. Bobrovsky, who got the third star, makes 29 saves. The Sabres 1-for-4 on the power play. Florida 2-for-4 in this game. There are your stats. Now here's Don Granato live in Florida.
Don, it looked like you had a pretty even period in the first period. Second period, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen plays great, and you leave the period still 2-1. How are you feeling in the locker room after that with the way he played and you're still at 2-1?
We didn't give up much in the first. I think we gave up two chances. The one that ended up in the net, I don't know if that was a chance. So that was aggravating in itself. And obviously you lose the way it happened is extremely aggravating and extremely disappointing. And I'm not talking about our players. What transpired there is disappointing.
Just given the timing, Don, I know you want to stick up for your players, but do you regret the way that you handled it, or do you feel good about saying something at that point, given all that had gone on in the game?
Well, Lance, you don't feel good about anything when you don't win a hockey game. Do I regret anything? You know, what I watched transpire in that game, from 1 minute before the incident where they gave Greenway a double minor, Cousins goes into Greenway. Cousins on their team. The whistle blows, initiates it by going a shoulder into Greenway's chest. Then has his hands up and protects himself. It goes down, and they give Greenway four. Like Greenway gets four out of it. That's just not right. That's hard to watch. And a minute before that, you watch Kreb take punches to the head with no call whatsoever, with linesmen in between, and he's still taking punches to the head. And a second guy comes in and pulls his helmet off. No call. So that's extremely frustrating. At some point, obviously, the one that wasn't right for me. Greenway or Benson's going after a puck, has a tug, gets pushed down and ends up tripping Mikkola. There's another player involved in that too. So, very, very tough night in regard to that. At some point, you gotta stand up for your team. You're put in that position as a coach. It's a tough position to be in, but you can't sit and watch. You watch so much, and at some point, you got to stand up for your team. You do.
Does it make it even tougher when you know what type of game it's going to be against that team, and then it compounds with some of the calls?
Absolutely, it makes it tough because you go out there, you play to win, and I thought our guys were very, very focused on that, and again, you feel like you're put in a position that you got to stand up for. So they play hockey. Absolutely frustrating.
Even though that you guys were put in a challenging spot, Don, and citing the examples we all saw, how do you balance that with just making sure that the group doesn't use that as an excuse, right, when it comes to the process?
And there's no excuse, Lance. They want to win, and they know they can win. You know, I said it to you guys a month and a half ago. We're in a different place right now, mentally, with our psyche. Our guys know, they see, they know how to win. They've matured through lots of adversity and challenge this year, and they're dialed in. And I don't think that's going to change. I think they've learned a lot, gone through a lot this year, gained a lot of experience, and their appetite is increasing. And I think we're all watching that, and I think we could all see that. And so I don't have any worry about that with this group specifically.
After the second goal, it looked like Eric Johnson wasn't out there. What was kind of the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, he obviously, not feeling his normal self, and we'll leave it at that. Obviously, challenging, but just not himself right now.
How'd he kind of handle that? Obviously, he's been around.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to do more and help the team, but you know, when you're not feeling as well as you could be, then it's tough.
He is healthy, though.
That's a relative term in the National Hockey League, but yeah.
Kyle says when you play that team, you got to put your big boy pants on and you got to be ready because they're going to be coming at you. And he goes, they're a good hockey team. He felt a lot of guys did, but he said some guys didn't. He goes, he'd like to see maybe more, you know, be that way. Did you feel the same way, too?
Yeah, I have no disappointment in really any guy. Again, there was, you know, the game could have went the other way. So I'm not going to sit here and talk something negative about one of our guys in that regard. I think they all competed. They competed to win. My frustration is not our players, I tell you that.
It seems like these calls go against Zach Benson kind of frequently because not just the tripping but the holding earlier in the game. How do you kind of keep his...
head in the right space when he plays the game a certain way, and it seems like, you know.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up and not me, that's all.
Don Granato on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, well, I know how Don Granato feels. That was pretty direct, to use one of his words. Sabres head coach Don Granato, that last question, asking about Don Granato, didn't want to really go much farther there. Let's go to Paul Hamilton now, live in Sunrise, Florida here. Paul, clearly Don Granato is still very frustrated, and he said, quote, "My frustration is not with our players," end quote. That's one of the most animated he's been on the bench all season there. I know fans have been looking for that. The timing of it led to the game-winning goal. How did you see it all play out, and do you understand how what he did?
Yes and no. I understand wanting to defend your players. If you are of the thought that you are out of the playoffs and you are done, go nuts. They're not mathematically out of the playoffs. It's going to be tough, but they're not mathematically out. They could have used a three-game winning streak turning into a four-game winning streak if they wanted to start, you know, getting up to a 10-game winning streak. And with that, he's got to control himself. Sorry. You can't put your team down when you're in a close game like that, when it's 2-1, and you fought and you fought and you fought. And I understand that, you know, Benson, as we've talked about, we talked about an intermission. For whatever reason, he gets called for goofy stuff. I don't know. The tripping penalty, I don't know if that's the right one to be mad about. I kind of thought that was a penalty. But the hold, there was no hold. I mean, and how many other times? You can use so many examples where you're thinking to yourself, well, what did he do? You know, so I totally understand the frustration. You know, you want to stand up for your 18-year-old kid. And as he says, there just comes to a point where you got to stand up for your players. Agreed.
Yeah.
Wait until you're out of the playoffs. If for some reason you do get back into this and you fall 2 points short, we're going to be talking about this, and we're going to be talking about it a lot. But as I said, I totally understand it. I understand athletic frustration. It just gets to a point where you just blow up. He didn't. He got the opportunity to say that he would regret it, and he didn't regret it. So, quite honestly, let's face it, it lost him a hockey game. In the scheme of things, will it matter? We'll find out.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the phrasing I was trying to spit out when I was saying it, Paul, is that you can't do it, but I totally understand it. When you know giving Florida a full 2-minute 5-on-3 with how lethal they are anyway can essentially end the game for you. So that is a tough thing for them. I know there were spots, obviously, for the Sabres to maybe get a third goal here or there, but in the end, this season, we still have to talk about the fact they still can't score enough in big moments. They still only have two at the end of this game. So maybe even if they kill that off, or I'm sorry, maybe even if it plays out differently and Granato keeps his cool for a moment, the Sabres still at some point need to score again, and that's not a guarantee that was coming.
Hey, Brian, unfortunately, I just looked at the clock, and I've got 3 minutes, so I got to roll.
Okay. All right, Paul. Well, we'll pick up this discussion on Thursday. Appreciate it. Good job tonight, as always. Thanks.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
All right, Paul Hamilton. He's got to get to the team plane. They're off to Tampa for a meeting with the Lightning tomorrow.
Can't argue with that.
Yes, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. Yeah, I think I said what I wanted to say on that. I understand Granato doing it. It was unfortunate timing. It was horrible timing. You're essentially giving Florida the game on a silver platter at that point, for sure. They still scored two on a night where, obviously, if you could have gotten one more, maybe we're having a different discussion. But I get it. Zach Benson, to me, got the raw deal twice tonight. You know, he piled on with the double minor on Greenway, or Krebs taking punches to the head. I guess I wasn't even ready to even add those to the list. Clearly vented frustration there. Don Granato was asked about it. And Granato is very, as we know, not emotionally. He doesn't react just all the time like that. In fact, some fans would say we'd love to see a little bit more pulse from him at times. Tonight, he stuck up for his players, and well, it might have cost him a game. And as Paul said, maybe at the end of the season, we'll be coming back and saying, was that the right move? Was it not the right move? Who knows? At this moment, I'll say I'm okay with it, because them figuring out a way to get themselves into a playoff spot seems almost impossible mathematically at this point. So, you know, if this was the second week of April and there's three games left and you're within 2 points or something like that, then that can't happen. But right now, like, I don't know. Is it in the end going to matter that much? Maybe, you know, the players will be quite happy with what happened, with how he stuck up for them. 3-2 the final. We'll read some tweets. What do you think? Send them in at Brian WGR here on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. All right, let's say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, we'll get you some highlights. We'll read some tweets here on Don Granato's reaction to some questionable officiating tonight. Sabres, though, lose in Florida 3-2 in regulation. No points in the standings. We'll update you on those as well when we return right after this on the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Reinhardt, 39 goals on the season, worked down to the corner, hammered to the ice by Eric Johnson.
That's our Clinton Collision hit of the game. Eric Johnson there. Clinton Collision, we're there when you need a repair. Welcome back to the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. 3-2 Florida over Buffalo. Let's get to our save of the game. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen continuing to play great, keeping Buffalo in it in this game tonight.
Trailing on the play, Panthers able to keep it in. Here's Rodriguez cutting to the net, drags it, and a great save by Luukkonen over at the far post.
One of 34 saves for Luukkonen there. Our save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. To see the exciting all-new Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. All right, 3-2 Sabres fall to Florida, so no points in the standings. We'll update that in a moment here. Tampa is next in what turns out to be, like, to me, whatever ice is thin left that you think the Sabres are standing on, Thursday, to me, it ends it if you lose in regulation to Tampa. That's the team right now that's holding the final wildcard spot. You have two games in hand of the Lightning and two head-to-head meetings. If you want to have any thought of maybe even thinking about going into March where these games matter, you have to have the Tampa game. If you lose in regulation, I will definitely be talking on that post-game show about, yes, the season's now officially done. It's probably easy to say that it is right now anyway, but I'll be, in terms of whatever hope is left, I think it ends right there. All right, let's get our ServPro first response from the fans now. ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzy responds first and faster to any size disaster. A lot of tweets coming in on the officiating and Granato's reaction, and was it the right move or the wrong move to stick up for the teammates and ultimately give Florida the game-winning goal here. All right, Colin writes in here, says, this is about Benson, by the way, says, this is a serious thing. He gets picked on all the time and is the first to be called for ever anything. See, if it feels like it, for sure. At JJ Dan says, no one should regret sticking up for a teammate. When you continue to keep getting the short end of the stick ad nauseum? It's tough when you're held accountable for every little thing, but the other side doesn't. Mitcher 1717 says, Benson is a beast. I'm so mad at those calls. An 18-year-old shouldn't be doing that. That's what the refs are thinking, he says. He's actually eating up these vets in board battles, and they're getting mad at it. He's been amazing against these veterans that are, some of them, you know, much larger than him. So I would agree. I think these players are getting annoyed, and it leads to kind of some confrontations, and then suddenly Benson, for whatever reason, is finding himself in the box quite a bit more. At Saber Scalpel says, I 100,000% agree, yes, with Granato about officiating. The league desperately needs a mechanism to address these horrible calls that have some consequences to the officials. Then, right after it, says, however, you have to find a way to score on the power play. I'll agree with both, for sure. Let's see. All right. What else can we go through here? CH says, the NHL refs who couldn't cut it in the big leagues are showing bias against an 18-year-old rookie who plays an aggressive game. I'm not shocked. Okay.
That's a big comment, considering a lot of some officials coming in are now former players, too.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, all right, well, TJ, what do you want Don Granato to do in that moment? It's 2-1, 10 minutes to go in the game. Well, just about 10 minutes to go in the game there. 2-1. Obviously, he was upset about the early Benson call. We know now he was upset about the Greenway double minor and Krebs getting punched and no call. And now Benson gets shoved down, and he's the one that gets called for the penalty. What are you doing in that moment? I mean, okay, all right, I'll pose this two ways. What are you doing in that moment, and what do you want Don Granato to do in that moment?
I mean, knowing what I know about the calls that Zach Benson has gotten all year, that's been a consistent issue where it seems like he has a target painted on his back. And for whatever reason, when things go down with and Zach Benson's in the scuffle, he's blamed when he shouldn't be. It happened multiple times tonight. It's happened in multiple games prior. I think with all of that in my back pocket and knowing that my guy keeps getting called for no reason at all, I think I go off too. Should Don have gone off? I don't know what the threshold is for getting a penalty or getting tossed. You and I were talking off air here that Sheldon Keefe got tossed in a game maybe a few weeks back.
No, tonight I think it was.
So he got called tonight.
Yeah.
So maybe just something going around the league. I don't know, but I think in that moment you need, as an NHL coach still with a minuscule chance at the playoffs, maybe you need to keep your cool. But again, I've never really seen repercussions for coaches screaming at an official. So it's interesting that all of a sudden that's a thing.
Well, here's the thing, too. Don Granato never does it.
Right.
I mean, we've seen, you know, the Laviolettes, the Tortorellos of the world, you know, the Brindamores, they just run their mouth the whole game. So, I mean, is it just because it's not his thing, it was surprising? I mean, that shouldn't be how you judge it. By the way, just to fully update the Sheldon Keefe situation, he got ejected in Toronto. Basically, Keefe was looking, you know how coaches look down at the monitor on the floor just to kind of look at the thing. He just yells out, "Hey, he effing fell by himself." I feel like, you know, there might be more to it. Them just yelling out an F-bomb and saying, yelling about the calls, like, I feel like, don't coaches do that every single time? Like, it doesn't seem like that's unique. But Keefe got ejected. I don't know.
I don't know if something was sent league-wide.
Obviously,
there will be emphasis on official abuse, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I know.
But I do like how Don painted it as just, he was posed the question if Zach Benson has a target on his back, and him more or less saying, I'm glad I didn't have to say it.
Right. Yeah, he's like, I'm basically saying, I'm glad the reporter said it, and I'm not denying it.
Because he knows he can't. He knows he can't. He knows he'll have a nice letter from the league in his mailbox, but
yeah. Yeah, and he's thinking, I may not only get a letter and maybe get a fine with it too, but I mean, I'm always okay with him sticking up for his team, for sure. In that spot, does it cost him a goal, which that goal ends up costing you the game? Maybe it did. I don't know, but I guess I'd like to say, TJ, that this moment, I know you're like, well, look at the standings. Look how important the points are right now. I guess I want to say I'll partially throw blame at the Sabres to allow this moment to happen. Like, look, you've put yourself in this hole.
Right.
5 months of bad hockey has put you in this spot that all of it, guess what? You're a coach, you're a human being. This has been happening all year. And, you know, for a rare instance, Don Granato goes off on the officials. It leads to a goal that ends up costing you a game. But, you know, in the end here, I think I still want my coach to do that.
Yeah. I think I agree with you there. I think in that moment he has to, especially since it was the second time it happened in the game.
Right. And then I'll go ahead and blame him and the team for saying, look, if you want to, if anybody wants to pick holes at saying, well, hey, you cost him the game, this was an important spot or whatever. No, I'm going to blame October, November, December, January, and February for that. Like, okay, like, yes, in this moment, it was a goal, and I know it was the game winner, and directly maybe that ends up winning it for Florida. But I know it's meaningful in the standings at this moment, but guess when it was meaningful? Opening night, when you were terrible against the Rangers. That 2 points that you gave up right there, too, is same 2 points you lost tonight. And then the next game against the Islanders, another horrid performance, that was also 2 points you could have had. So, in the end, I guess I'm still, as we're trying to talk this out here, did you want Granato to do it? Did you not want him to do it? As we talk this out here over the course of the postgame, I'm starting to lean more on the side with that I want him to do that. I want him to stick up for his players when he thinks they're being, you know, unjustly called, which I really think they were. And Zach Benson especially, I think I'm okay with it. That's one of those, you know, Paul always says, that's one of those penalties you take and you say, go kill it off. Now, it was a 5-on-3. That really is what made it tough to do. But I think it's a separate argument. This team is where it's at, and they're in trouble because of what I just said. October, November, December, January, February. Like that's why. Not just because Don Granato yelled at an official. Was it, in this game, was it poor timing in terms of the result? I guess it ended up being that. So maybe you can't have both, right? You can't say you want your coach to show vigor and stick up for his teammates and be passionate and all this sort of stuff. But then at the same time, you cannot then say, well, he's got to know in this moment right now that this is an important, that was an important sequence in the game. Like,
and there have definitely,
pick one. You can't have both.
And there have definitely been a few times where that has been a criticism of Don, where people wish he would get more into it. So now he does, and now he goes too far, apparently.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's been a criticism of Granato. Listen, I've been in the arena quite a few times where I've thought the Sabres were you know, getting a bad job on the ice with officiating, and I stare down at the bench and he's like a statue, and I'm sitting there saying, can you at least show your players that you're a little bothered by it so that you can maybe kind of motivate them a little here? Like, so I'll be front to say that is something that I've thought about. I'm sure fans in that building that watch every game have thought about that too. So I can't sit here then and say, like, oh, he shouldn't have done that, like, because I would be contradictory to myself. I am definitely not a you have to have a screamer coach to win. But when you feel your team is being unjustified, you should stick up for them. Whether it's somebody takes a cheap shot at you in the ice and you're the one that jumps in for your teammate. You know, we can circle back to Martin or Milan Lucic against Ryan Miller if we want to go back all the way, right?
I do wonder if he wants to try to set an example that you shouldn't lose your cool in those situations. Just thinking back on it, maybe rationally. And like I said before, maybe tonight was sort of the point of no return, with that it just keeps happening. It happened twice. So I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got lots of tweets coming in. I'm sure maybe tomorrow the morning show will have a little bit more on this for sure. Injury report next, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Eric Johnson only played 3:31, six shifts. Don Granato did say, look, he's not feeling himself. Was followed up by saying, is he actually injured? And he's like, well, you know, relatively healthy. So he obviously didn't feel like Johnson was happy with where his game was at and had him sit the rest of the night. So that's why we only saw Johnson for 3:31. Dahlin, by the way, remember that streak? What was it? Six in a row? Now seven in a row, where he's played 29-plus minutes. Tonight he plays 30 minutes and 29 seconds in a regulation game, more than half. Dahlin just keeps racking up those points. Also, injury-wise, Jeff Skinner, we knew was a question mark coming into the game, a game-time decision. He ends up playing, so it looks like he was fully healthy. A plus one, 19 and a half minutes, two shots. So looked like Skinner got through that game, no problem. So that is good news there on the injury front. 3-2 Florida, Brian Colziel here on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. TJ Luckman, our network producer, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, Kyle Powell on our social media. Thanks for being with us here. All right, so the standings, obviously the Sabres don't get any points. Let's get a quick check of the scoreboard, and then we'll update you on what happened with the standings. Our scores brought to you by Alex's Place in Batavia. Oh, man, now I want ribs. 12 games tonight, of course, including the Panthers' 3-2 win over the Sabres. No help in Detroit. The Red Wings remain red hot. They've won now six in a row. They roll Washington by a score of 8-3. Patrick Kane, two more points in that game as the Wings just continue to pile up wins. Other finals, Montreal defeating Arizona 4-2. Philadelphia beating Tampa, so that's a little helpful in some sense. Tampa's holding the second wild card team down, 6-2 the final there. Toronto at home losing to Vegas, 6-2. Jonathan Marchessault with two goals for the Golden Knights. Vegas will be here in Buffalo on Saturday. No Eichel yet, wearing a red no-contact jersey in practice. We'll not see yet if Eichel is in the game on Saturday or not. Hurricanes win in Minnesota over the Wild in regulation, 3-2. Ottawa falling in Nashville, 4-1 to the Preds. Final in Winnipeg, the Jets beat the Blues 4-2. Gary Bettman, by the way, was in Winnipeg today, talking a little bit about the lack of attendance for Jets games, encouraging Jet fans to get there, saying, hey, you don't have anything to worry about. Winnipeg's going nowhere, but start showing up for games. That's kind of what he said. Through two in Calgary, Flames and Kings are tied 2-2. Halfway through the second period in Colorado, the Avalanche lead the Stars 2-1. Minute to go in the first period in Vancouver. The Canucks already have a pair of goals, and they lead the Penguins 2-0. And just underway out in San Jose, Sharks and Devils scoreless. Lindy Ruff kind of under fire as well. Yes, I've seen tweets. Fans are saying bring back Lindy Ruff. Well, he has to get fired first, as does Jan Granato, before we can truly have that discussion. All right, so there is your look at the scores. What's it mean for the standings? Well, Detroit wins. They go to 72. Detroit, by the way, can start thinking about third place. They're only 2 points back of Toronto. How about that? So the Wings have 72. Then Tampa's in wild card two with 69. So there's the end of the playoffs right there. Tampa with 69. Then we go for the teams that are on the outside looking in. Washington, 63. New Jersey and New York Islanders, 62. Pittsburgh, 60, and Buffalo, 58. Capitals lost. Devils playing right now. Penguins have won two straight, so that's why they're 2 points ahead of Buffalo. So there's your look at the standings. Sabres 11 back of Tampa. Now, two games in hand and two head-to-heads. You want to just play this out in your head? Here we go. Let's say they win both games in hand. Well, now you're within... It was 11, so now you're within 7. You win the two head-to-head, now you're within 3. Okay. That seems doable, right? They could beat Tampa twice, but what are you going to do with Pittsburgh, the Islanders, the Devils, and the Caps? You got to make sure you pass all them, too, at some point. And that's the thing we've been repeating ad nauseum here about the standings, is that it's not just solely about catching Tampa. It's that you have to pass Pittsburgh and New Jersey and New York and Washington along the way in order to get to Tampa. And that's the tough part. No points tonight for the Sabres. They'll be looking for 2 points in Tampa. That's going to be a monster game. For me, again, if there's any hope of maybe making March interesting, you've got to have this game against Tampa on Thursday night. 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have the pregame at 6 right here on WGR. And then at 7 o'clock, of course, everybody with the play-by-play with Dan and Rob on the Sabres Radio Network. For more on this game tonight, you can go to Kyle Powell's game story, WGR550.com. And, of course, we encourage you to tune in tomorrow morning bright and early at 6 a.m. for our morning show with Jeremy and Joe. And then, you know, Sal's doing the extra point show from the Combine, so lots of good stuff there throughout the day. All right, we'll put a wrap here on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. 3-2 Florida over Buffalo. Thanks to TJ Luckman, our network producer, Kyle Powell on our social media, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, Tom Maddy is our engineer. Shope on the Bulldog on the pregame. And our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. The final again from Sunrise, Florida. Panthers 3, Sabres 2. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you again Thursday night with the Tampa Bay Lightning, the opponent, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.